The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Christ Jesus. And I have the right to feel so about you all, because I have you in my heart, all of you, alike in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, as sharers in my joy. For God is my witness how I long for you all in the heart of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the better things, that you may be upright and without offense until or unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees went and took counsel how they might trap Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truthful, and that thou teachest the way of God in truth, and that thou carest not for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. So they offered him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, Whose are the image and the inscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the points that perhaps I need to at least point out to you in the bulletin this morning, concerns the All Souls Day envelopes. Please work to get them here before the beginning of November so that we may place them on the altar. There will be catechism class this morning after this Mass. And I underline three times over, we change our clocks next Sunday, and you fall back. You put the clocks back 1 hour next Sunday, not forward. If you put them forward, you'll be in great trouble. Put the clocks back 1 hour, and let us pray that whoever it is that has anything to do with why they would stop this foolishness with the clocks. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My beloved people, a point that I perhaps should have brought out just a moment ago was concerning the heroic act, which is also on this week's bulletin. The heroic act for the souls in purgatory. We very, very much encourage this devotion to the souls in purgatory. And in so doing, that you may gain the plenary indulgences that you would be entitled to for this wonderful act of charity for the souls in purgatory. And of course, read the conditions that you must fulfill in order to gain this indulgence. Next week, of course, we will have something in the bulletin concerning not only this, but also the totius quotius indulgences, which we are all familiar with. At any rate, in today's bulletin, in today's gospel, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now the question is, just what are the things that are God's, that we should render those things to him? I think sometimes that we erroneously put together a way of Catholicism that may not necessarily render unto God the things that are God's. And that maybe there are those times, too often perhaps, where we feel or we ourselves have put together a system which includes the various and sundry and the countless crusades that we are on, thinking that such crusades that we are on are going to necessarily make us pleasing to Almighty God. Everybody today seems to be on some kind of crusade or other. It keeps our minds occupied. It keeps us occupied. And we find ourselves running from one to the other, trying to go about, we tell ourselves, promoting the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. Next Sunday, of course, is the feast of Christ the King, a glorious feast, and for us particularly, it is a most important feast because it is the patronal feast of our monastery, which makes it doubly important for us. In today's bulletin, we read, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, and with thy whole strength." And this is where we need to look. In some place along in there, it also adds, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy love thyself." Week after week after week after week, we preach and we print words that indicate and stress and beg for, literally and actually, the formation of the interior self. Which of these two would fit better in that command to render unto God the things that are God? Number one, the crusade that we may be on, or the various crusades that we may be on, the pushing, or promoting, or insisting upon, or demanding. The crusades that we are on, number one. Number two, my own personal, individual sanctity. Which of these two is more important? Which of these two is a thing that pertains to God, really? The crusade that we are on is not a passport to heaven. I think sometimes we believe that it is, but it can be. It can be helpful, rather, I should say. The crusade can be helpful if it develops within me the condition of soul that will make me acceptable to Almighty God. That God will be able to say, in that soul will be found my kingdom. Our blessed Lord said, or asked rather, once upon a time, these are his own words. When I come back the second time, will I find any faith? What constitutes faith? What constitutes faith? Faith, my beloved people, today is misconstrued. It seems to me from every possible angle it is misconstrued. Faith today seems to be shrouded, covered, cloaked, whatever you want to use, with how much am I doing, how much am I doing, how much am I doing, where am I going, who am I converting, who am I converting, who am I converting. Faith today seems to be, in the eyes of too many people, even those of our own kind, a matter of restoring all things to Christ. I've said it before, and I will repeat it now. For us in these days and times, and for us in our own particular set of problems, in our own catacomb existence, let us not look at this edifice here, or any other individual edifice it might be, however glorious it may be, however pompous it may be, however beautiful the singing, however beautiful the music, however beautiful the sermon, however persuading the argument. That does not in any way change the fact, the abominable fact, that we are living in worse than catacomb conditions. And for us to think otherwise is actually frustrating the purpose that was in our blessed Lord's mind when he said, when I come back the second time, will I find any faith on earth? In my opinion, when we sit and complain that sometimes our sermons or whatever you wish to, our writings or whatever, doesn't matter, are pessimistic. Well, they are pessimistic. No one can deny that. But I dare say that of all the words that have ever come forth from the mouth of anyone who walked the face of this earth, the most pessimistic of all the words were these words of our blessed Lord himself when he said, "When I come back, will I find any faith?" Nothing, nothing could be more alarming than that. What assurance have I got? What assurance have you got? Do not tell me that you say the rosary every day, that you go to Mass every Sunday, wouldn't think of missing Mass, that you do this and you do that, you do the other thing and the other thing and still the other thing. Therefore, I'm safe. I've made the nine Fridays. I've made the first Saturdays. I've said this prayer that guarantees my salvation. I've said that prayer that guarantees my salvation. I go to this place or that place or the other place. Absolutely, I am safe. I am saved. Have we not heard this expression before? I am saved. And do we not recall where we have heard this expression of I am saved? It is not so much, my beloved people, of whether I am saved while I am sitting in this vestibule of prayer. That's not where my salvation really is. Now is it? Now is it? What am I like? When I step outside that door 30 or 40 minutes from now, what am I like? The kingship of Christ, yes. The throne room is here, yes. Not the real throne room. What is the real throne room? My heart. That's where the kingdom of Christ has to be. And unless and until, when he returns, that he finds this in me, when he says, when he will say, "Where are you?" How many of us will be able to hold up our hands and say, "Here am I, Lord"? But let us be careful. Let us be very careful. Remember, we've been talking about the publican and the Pharisee, haven't we? You haven't heard the last of that one yet, I promise you. That will continue on and on, I promise you. And he will say, "Yes, there you are. What have you done?" "Oh, I've given my body up to be burned and all of the rest." "Oh, very good. Very, very good." Did you love your neighbor? Well, how could I love him? I knew what kind of sinner he was. Therefore, I would have nothing to do with him. I would not let him touch my body. Remember the Pharisees when the poor little old Mary Magdalene came up and administered to our Lord at the banquet, the great holy ones of God? If only he knew who it was and what manner of person it is that touches him that they were the ones that were giving up their bodies to be burned, and today they will call hypocrites. My beloved people, it is time for us to rearrange our way of thinking. It is time for us to rearrange our way of believing. It is time for us to understand what it is that Christ has said in the gospel. It is time for us to look at Christ with the kind of humility and the kind of purity that he expects and demands. It is time for us to love God with all of our force and strength. Not this manufactured kind of worship. Defective indeed, it is quite defective that we promote and peddle, saying this is the way to salvation, as opposed to that is the way to salvation. Who, my beloved people, who am I? Who am I that I should place judgment on anybody? For the sake of the ridiculous, that I should think for a moment of vanity that the God of all creation should come to me and ask me for my opinion about anybody. We can quote scripture, and we can quote it quite well. And we can also quote from all the good books that have been written, all the quotations that have ever been written to prove that I am the correct one. And that everybody else who doesn't think like I think is wrong. I can't do that. Oh, I would love to be able to do that. It'd be very invigorating for me to be able to do just that. I am the one that's right. And you, my good people, beware, because all of you are wrong. That would be so lovely for me to be able to say that, but I can't say it because it's not true, is it? What do we mean that we should love God with our whole heart and soul and mind and body and strength? It means that we have reserved nothing. May I repeat? I don't want to shout it, because I can't shout it loud enough, so I'll just simply re-speak it. May I repeat that I am nothing. That's the message that comes from this pulpit, and you know it, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, bulletin after bulletin, bulletin after bulletin. My beloved people, I'm looking at you, I'm gonna point to you. But there's some people behind me too. But I'm pointing to you. And I say to this, my beloved people, you are nothing. How insulting can I be any more than that? We hear this and we think well of it. Yes, I am nothing. But when the impact of contradiction comes and hits me right between the eyes, when the impact of whatever comes and hits me right between the pride, ability, contradiction, whatever hits me, how do I react? My world around us, it's in the drinking water, it's in it's in the air that we breathe, it's in every word that we hear spoken. It's the very opposite of this, because they are constantly reminding me and you and us that you are everything. And here you come to your church on Sunday and you hear the priest telling you, you're nothing. How crazy can this be? But until you and I are completely convinced, effectively convinced, that you and I are indeed nothing, and it's in that nothing that we find humility, we find purity, we find love, we find obedience, we find all the virtues in that one statement, I am nothing. Until I am able to say and to believe from the utmost recesses of my heart that I am truly nothing, it matters not how many crusades I am on and how many times I give my body up to be burned. It will mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. The nothingness that we abhor now will manifest itself in glaring terms on the day of judgment, when we will be asked, did you love me more than these? It is time that we stopped playing house with ourselves, with our church, with the people, with everybody around us. And in these days, not only of confusion, but in these days of utter upheaval, we do not know from one minute to the next if we're not going to be blown to smithereens. We do not know this. In these days, our preparedness is not so much in building bigger barns and putting greater stores in our storerooms, making bigger gardens. A crust of bread is enough. The only thing that matters is, what condition is my soul in? And when I leave my church on Sunday, wherever it may be, do I feel a little holier, a little closer, a little more humble? Or do I feel like I'm going to burst the doors open and go find somebody to beat down and tear him apart because he disagrees with me? This is where it is. The Pharisees did that, didn't they? They were constantly looking for somebody to stone. It looks like that was the only process that they thought important. They were always looking for somebody to throw rocks at, weren't they? And yet, my beloved people, they were called hypocrites. It is only in the purity of our hearts and in the humility of our hearts that we shall find our salvation, that we shall become saints. And if we do not become saints, what have we said many times before? If I do not become a saint, I am a failure. And that is that. My beloved people.